Well, good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Can we give God praise? Good to be in God's house this morning. I'm glad all of you are here. I want to welcome all those in the 715 who are watching online this morning and invite you to come and join us some Sunday. It's always better in person. And everyone said, amen, amen. My name is Sheldon Miles. I'm the lead pastor of this awesome church. And what you just saw here is a video of a ministry that we are focusing on this month called Convoy of Hope. And I just want to just reiterate, you've heard me talk about Convoy of Hope, but I want you to know it is not a handout ministry. It's not a handout, but a hand-up ministry. How many of you know the difference between those two? It's a hand-up ministry, and that their primary focuses are on four areas. This is really what Convoy of Hope. First of all, they are a ministry for disaster response. When there are hurricanes and tornadoes and tragedies, even not only in the United States, but all around the world, they're one of those agencies that respond, kind of like the Red Cross, but they respond not only with food and resources, but they respond with in the spirit of the gospel, and they share the gospel with people. They're also a new focus of their ministry is what they call women's empowerment, and they're trying to help women all around the world in third world countries, trying to resource them so that they can start businesses on their own, because in a lot of homes, the woman is the sole provider. And so they're trying to empower women. But not only that, but in some of these countries, the big issue is agriculture. And if they could help resource them to provide planting, the education of planting and the seeds and all of those things, they want to help people work themselves out of world hunger. And then the one that we're really focusing on this month is their Feed the Children program. And so we have been challenging you this month with what is called the one-day challenge. The one-day challenge is all around the world, they provide food for children, but they provide, they give it to the schools, and they work through the ministry of the schools, and the schools will have food for children. And that it is an incentive for children to come to school and to be educated. And I have been to a couple of these locations when I went a few years ago to the country of Haiti, and I saw the effectiveness of that. They figure if we can feed a child, we can help educate them, and if we can help educate them, we can help them work their way out of poverty in some of the situations like that. And so they have done the math, and they figured out that it takes about $120. $120 or $10 a month to feed a child in a third world country for a year, for a school year. And so we have putting out the challenge to you, the church. Next Sunday, we are going to take a one-day offering. And our challenge is for each and every one of you is that you would give up, you would surrender, you would give one day of your wages to affect the life of a child for a lifetime. And so next week is our one day offering, and you can even, if you wanted to do that today, you can go ahead on our website, and it says Impact Convoy of Hope if you wanted to do that. There's more information about the one day project that we put that on your seat today. I just want to encourage you next week. Our goal is to be able to impact the life of 100 children. We want to raise $12,000 for this ministry of Convoy of Hope, because I believe that God has blessed us to be a blessing. I believe that God has gifted you to give. Amen? Amen. And so that goes right along with our sermon series that we've been talking about. And I want to encourage you to follow along in your sermon notes. You get so much more out of the message when you follow along in your notes. But we've been talking about being rich. Being rich. And I presented this a couple of times each and every week. But how many of you, knowing what rich means, to be rich, to be full of life, to be full of God's blessings, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I am rich this morning? I am rich. God has blessed me. Well, this is what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 18. He says, I want you to teach those who are rich. Raise your hands again one more time. Raise your hand. I am rich. I want you to teach those people in this sanctuary today not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust instead should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. Let me stop right there. To do good. How many of you just would hold up this booklet right here? I want you to teach them, not only teach them, but I want you to challenge them to do something good with the resources that I've given them. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Today, I am talking about being rich with my tithe. And when I say my tithe, it's not Pastor Sheldon's tithe, but I'm talking about your tithe. And I know many people, like, they come into church and, like, they hear that word tithe, and all of a sudden, all of these thoughts of skepticism start ringing through their minds, and like, what? Oh, man, jeez, oh, okay, there we are. And I understand that. I understand your skepticism. But and I think I used to have this skepticism in my mind as well until I learned that tithing was not about a material issue. It wasn't a material issue or even a financial issue. Listen to me closely. It's a spiritual issue. I believe this with all of my heart, soul, and mind. I practice my faith, and I think one of the most spiritual things that a person can do, one of the most spiritual things that I do is to tithe. Tithing is defined as this. It is the spiritual habit of giving. Everybody say giving. It's the spiritual habit of giving your first fruits, the first 10% and the best of your earnings. And we'll talk about first fruits here in a minute. Back to God. And this whole idea came from Leviticus 27:30. And can we just stop right here? I know some of you, there's so much that I could talk to you about tithing. And so I've put it in your bulletin here. Some people have a lot of questions, and I have a lot of answers for you in Scripture that supports these ideas on the principle of tithing. So you might want to take this home and look at some of those ideas. But where did the idea of tithing come from? In the Old Testament, God would call the people, and I believe not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament today, God calls his people to prioritize him. Our priorities should be centered around him. And they did that. One of the ways that they did that is by surrendering their first fruits to him as an act of worship. Now, in the book of Malachi, there was a prophet. A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God. So in other words, God will give a prophet what I call a download and say, okay, prophet, this download is not only for you, but I want you to go and proclaim this in my name. I want you to go out and kind of, you've heard this phrase before, thus saith the Lord. I want you to speak on my behalf. And Malachi is a prophet, and God is speaking, or Malachi is speaking on God's behalf. And he was confronting the Israelites who were being lax on keeping God their priority. And sometimes that happens, right, in our faith journey. We become lax. I mean, we get busy. We got a lot of stuff going on in our workplace and with our kids and our family. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden God, who was in first place, he slid down to second place and slides into third place. But, man, I'm just really busy. I had a lot going on. And all of a sudden, God is, like, down here on the priority list. How many of you know that happens sometimes? We're just human, okay? And sometimes that happened. But what was happening is their giving. Malachi is addressing their giving, and it was demonstrating that they were, do I call it, cheating the system by their giving. In fact, the way they were cheating their system is, like, back in the day, they were called to give their best, and now they've started to, you know, as their priorities shifted, now all of a sudden they're giving God mediocrity, and now they're at the point where they're giving God their leftovers or the part that they don't want. They're giving him like the scraps on the table. How do I know that? It's Malachi 1:8. And again, speaking on behalf of God, he says, he's talking to Israelites. He says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Okay, so in other words, they were trying to manipulate the system. Like, oh yeah, I'm coming to the temple and I'm bringing my sacrifice. And like, your sacrifice looks like he's about to die, man. Your sacrifice is in pretty bad shape. That's the best that you got? Oh yeah, that's the best that I'm giving to God. You see, that's what happens sometimes when God, the priorities have dropped a little bit. Kind of reminds me of, I heard a story about this mathematician, this accountant, and this IRS agent, and they were all applying for the same job. And so the interviewer, he calls in the mathematician, and he asks, okay, what does 2 + 2 equal? The mathematician replies confidently, 4. And the interviewer asks him, 4 exactly? And the mathematician looks at the interviewer incredulously and says, yes, 4 exactly. Then the interviewer calls in the accountant and he asks the same question, what does 2 + 2 equal? And the accountant says, on average, it's 4, give or take 10%, but on average, it equals 4. Then the interviewer, he calls in the IRS agent and he poses the same question, what does 2 + 2 equal? And the IRS agent gets up out of his chair and he locks the door, closes the shades, sits down to the interviewer, and he says, what do you want it to equal? All right, I tried. Sometimes we do that. What does it work out? We manipulate the system when our priorities have failed, when they're fallen. God was calling Tim to live by what is known as the first fruits principle. The first fruits principle. First fruits is this. Again, back in the day, a person's wealth was measured by their flocks or their harvest, the harvest of their agriculture, whether it was olive oil or the wheat, whatever was in their field, or their flocks of sheep or cattle, whatever. And that's really how wealth was measured back then. And so first fruits is what was first. It was the first of your flock or the first of your harvest. And it was the first of your income, it was the first of a gift, and it was the first of our time. Not only their first, but they gave their best. Everybody say first. They gave the first fruits means they give you first, and they give you their best. And so from their flock, they would go through their flock and they would find the best sheep that they were going to give to God as a sacrifice. Or they would go into their field and make sure they don't get anything moldy or anything like that, but they're going to give their best. Where are you at? You're with me, Aiden? Aiden. Earth calling Aiden. Okay. Aiden. All right. There you are. Okay, thank you, Aiden. All right. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Is this for me? Thank you, Aiden. Let go of the... Okay. Thank you, Aiden. All right. Thank you. All right. So, I just got paid. Today is payday. Amen? How many of you love payday? Yeah, we love payday. So, and today, the church decided to pay me with 10 donuts. Let's give it up for our church board here at the church. Thank you. Thank you. So I have before you a plate of 10 donuts. And now I have a decision. I could devour all these donuts by myself, which I'm totally capable of doing. I do have the capacity. But I would first start with pouring myself a glass of milk, with ice in it. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I like ice in my milk. I like it really cold. And that bothers some people in the church, and they may walk out because they're so offended by that. But I do that. I do that with my milk. I do that. And I could devour all these things. But wait a second. The principle of the first fruits. You see, that's how I practice my faith, is the principle of the first fruits. And so I look through all these donuts, and I kind of determine which one is the best. And I say, Lord, I give you the first. I give you my first donut, and I give you my best. I give you my best. How many of some of your mouths are watering right now. I see you wiping your mouth. I give you my first. And how many of you, is there anybody who feels God-like? Jerry, you seem like you look God-like today. Can I just give you my first? And I want to give you, it's the best. It's the best right there, man. You go ahead. Don't eat that in front of me, man. Don't. And then we'll talk about this a little bit later, what we're encouraging you with next week, the one-day offering. We give our first and we give our best, but then we give this thing called an offering. An offering is above and beyond. It's more than the first fruits. It's above and beyond. And that's what next week is all about. You see, God, I just want you to know, God doesn't need your money. God wants your heart. God doesn't want to. Is there anybody here who just feels like they need to receive an above and beyond offering? Is there anybody who does that? Zach, do you feel like you need an above and beyond? You have worked so hard. I will give this to you only if you drink it with a glass of ice milk. Come on up here, Zach. Go ahead. Come on up here, Zach. Give it up for Zach. He needs an above and beyond offering. There you go, man. Our first and our best. And I'm just going to let this sit here and marinate with you guys here for a little while. Does everybody get that? That was the first fruits offering. So in my life, if we narrow this down to numbers, it's like, okay, so if God would bless me to make $100 a week, then I would give back to God the first. The first thing I would do with that is, again, this is me practicing my faith. I would give him $10. I would give him the first, and I would give him the best. If the Lord would bless me with $1,000 a week, I would say, Lord, here's $100 that I give to you. The first thing I do with it is I give you my first, and I give you the best. If God would bless me with $10,000 a week, hallelujah, can we say raise for the pastor? I need a little more response. The board needs to hear you. If the board would tell me, Pastor, we would bless you with $10,000 a week, then I would say, Lord, I give to you my first $1,000, and I give it my best. And that it's challenging, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? The more you make and the more you give back to God, I've heard people say, man, it's harder to write that check or to give that. But all the blessings that come from it. So again, of all that God blesses you with, you give him back 10%, and he allows you to live with the 90% as stewards. And here's the deal, because when God is first in our life, because when God is first in my life, I give him my best, and I give him my first, and I give him my best. Let me say that one more time. I do this because of the principle of the first fruits, because when God is first. Everybody say first. When God is first in my life, I give him my first and I give him my best. Here's the big idea today. Again, I said this already. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your, he's God. God wants your heart. He wants to be your treasure. So the question that we ask today is, when it comes to my finances, my money, can I really take God at his word? And again, I encourage you, if you want to look at what I'm talking about here today, so much more I could say, but I encourage you to look up some of those questions. But I want to talk about what happens when I tithe. Here's what I believe. I'll speak on my behalf. Here's what I believe when I tithe. When I tithe, number one, I am demonstrating that God is first in my life. Look at this in Deuteronomy 14:23. This is from TLB, means the Living Bible. It says this: the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. How does that happen? Why? Why does this happen? Because what I've discovered in my life, whatever is first in my life, come on, we know this. Whatever is first in your life is, let's be real, that's the thing that you're worshiping. Right? Whatever is first in our life, that's what we're worshiping. And what you worship is what you obey. I'm going to say that one more time. That's worth writing down. Whatever is first in your life is what you worship. And what you're worshiping is what you're obeying. And God says to us throughout His Word, He says it in Old Testament, and He says it in New Testament, make me first. Love the Lord. You guys said that in the Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus backs it up in the New Testament. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. That sounds to me a lot like to me first. Everybody say first. First. Put up your finger and say first. First. God, I give you my first. God wants to be first. Listen to me. You got to get this point right here. God wants to be first. God desires to be first. God deserves to be first. And He will not settle for second. How many of you right now, your spouse would be okay with you being second place in their life? Right? That all of a sudden your marriage has just become problematic if that's going on. Like, whoa. So if your spouse would not accept that, that would be completely unacceptable in your marriage. Then why would God accept that in your life when He commands it so much? And here's the deal. Here's what I've discovered. If you want to know what is in someone's heart, you know what you look at? You look at their bank account. You pull out that wallet, and you put that card in your ATM machine, and you look where you're at and where what you're giving to. And let's just face it, that is what is somebody's, it's what's in your heart, where you're spending your money. And all too often, what has happened in my life, sometimes it happened in yours, is what God's number one competitor becomes what's in our wallet or what's in our bank account. That becomes God's biggest competitor. And all of a sudden, man, especially when we're doing really good, especially when we're doing really good financially, again, the temptation, I wonder if this is what's happening with the Israelites, the temptation is all of a sudden God is top priority, medium priority, lower priority. Finances have become a higher priority and the priority in my life because, man, I really like making all this money, man. This is kind of fun. This is really cool. Have you ever noticed how that can happen? And I tell you, when you read through the history of the Israelites, you see this story over and over and over again where the people were getting the blessings of God. And the more blessings that came their way, the less priority God became in their life. And I'm telling you, it was their temptation, and it's your temptation as well. And when we tithe, what happens is we surrender what's close to our heart, and it reminds us who needs to be number one. Think about that. It's like, wait a second. God is first. Everybody say, God is first. And so when I'm like, and the way that I'm practicing that, because I'm tempted to make my finances first, and the way that I practice, the way that I keep God first is I give Him my first. I give Him my first. I give Him my first. Keeping God first in our health, it helps me keep my priorities in life as well. Listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew 6:21. He speaks to the temptation of your heart and mind. He says, listen to me. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. In other words, what we treasure in our hearts has the potential to become the thing that we worship. Here's the proof. Here's the proof. Here's the proof of what I'm talking about. You go across the street and you talk to the detectives at the police station. And you ask them, like, hey, there's been kind of a murder thing that happened, or there's been this crime. And one of the first, listen to me, you know this is true. One of the first things that they will look into, they will investigate, where was the money gone? How did money have a part in it? Right? How did money? What will they say? They will say, any good detective will tell you, follow the money. Follow the money. And so again, we see here, Jesus points this truth out, and we see it in our life. He says, whatever your treasure is there, the desires of your heart will be also. There has been more heinous crimes, terrible, horrible things that have been done so that I can have more money. Well, again, that's because that's what was on their heart. Listen to me. Whatever has your heart also has you. Whatever has your heart also has you. I've told this story before, but I've shared with you, I used to run marathons a lot, and I used to be in this running club. And I didn't know these people in this running club, but I found out, I used to live in Green Bay, that a lot of these people are the who's who business leaders in the city of Green Bay. I mean, these were presidents of banks, presidents of the hospitals, CEOs. I mean, I was just, wow, it was cool that God would get me into this relationship. And I built a lot of relationships with them. And we would talk about business. As we're running and we're dogging for the day, we talk about business, politics, world events, and we talk about morality. And here's the deal. Every conversation we have, it always ended up on the topic of money. Man, it just seems like money always seems to be the thing. So I was running with this one guy. He worked at Bellin Hospital, high up in that. And so as we're talking about money, so I asked him a question. So I said, so what you're saying to me is money is the, we're talking about morality. I said, so what you're trying to say to me is money is the driving force of our morality today. These were his exact words. This was a church-going person, and he says, money is our God. I think I'm going to run somewhere else. But maybe he's not too far off. Maybe that really has become the issue. Remember where God says to us in the first of the Ten Commandments, there shall be no other God before me. That's why I think tithing is such an important principle for us to follow. Because if I'm not being obedient to God, I'm probably obedient to my desires. I think the way that we communicate our heart devotion to God is by surrendering anything that would be in competition with Him. And so giving our first to God communicates, God, you are my first. Everybody say, God, you are my first. God, you are my first. Okay. When I tithe, I'm giving back to God what is already His. I talked about this, Leviticus 27:30. This is where Moses is talking to the Israelites here. And he says, listen, I want to one-tenth, a tithe. That's what the word tithe means. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, which is all of this is first fruits. It belongs to God. Everybody say it belongs to God. And it must be set apart as holy. I've talked about this before, and get this principle when it comes to your finances and your wealth and everything that you have, anything and everything. Understand this, it's not yours, it's all His. Just everybody say, it's all His. Everything that you have, everything that you have. I want you to look in the Bible here. I have a bunch of illustrations here. If you want to write these down here, Leviticus 25:2 says, the land, you want to look up these passages later, the earth, the animals, the wealth of the earth, every person in this world, your ability to produce wealth, you belong to God. It all, everybody say all, it all belongs to God. You couldn't do without him. And so when we tithe, we give back to God what is already his. It's like, wait a minute, these are my donuts. Like, no, they're God's. All that I have, everything that I have possessed in this world, it's all his. Is there anybody else who would like a portion of what God has given to me? Anybody, is there anybody out here? Hurry up here, jump up here, just one person. I just want to bless somebody. Yeah, bless you, come on. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to give you the best. Go ahead, take the best. Not all, not the plate. Yes. Yeah, there we go. He took the best, and I don't blame you. So it's all his. Everything that you have in this world. And we are called to be stewards. I talked about this last week. So this is all God's. And it felt good to bless you with that donut. I see the smile on your face, and I see the saliva coming out of your mouth because you're not supposed to eat donuts in church. I'm really proud of you. You haven't touched that donut yet, but your daughter's been eyeing it, so you better watch that. But it feels good. And God has, this is all God's, and he's given me the opportunity to bless others, to invest it into the world because it's all his. It's not mine. I'm called to be a steward to invest. The number three, when I tithe, I'm honoring God. The other word for honor in this context is worship God through my obedience. The word honor means to show deep respect, admiration, and appreciation towards someone. The word worship, when we worship, we are showing God a deep respect and admiration and appreciation. So worship is the act of honoring somebody. So just a few moments ago, we were engaged in worship. We lift up our hands and we were singing songs. What we were doing is we were honoring God. We were giving him worship. And I encourage you to do that every single day, especially around this Thanksgiving season. Give praise and worship to God. But look what Proverbs says. Proverbs, the wisest man who ever lived, he says, honor the Lord, worship the Lord with your wealth. And with the honor the Lord with your wealth and the best part of everything that you produce, your first fruits. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow and with good wine. So all throughout the Old Testament, God, when people honored God, they bring their first fruits to him. And so we do the same thing here today. We honor God by giving him our first fruits. So when we mention up here and we talk about our giving, our offering, we invite all of you to do it. What we're doing is we're still participating in worship. You notice that we take that at time and the ushers walk around with baskets, and we're just giving you an opportunity to continue to worship God. And we give him our first. We make him our first priority. Just a side note here. It's not only with our finances that we give our first, but I want to challenge each and every one of you that you would make God first in your life by every day. Your every day. What if we gave him the first part of our every day? I practice this every morning. I get up, not going to lie, I make a cup of coffee. That's my first thing that I do, but God understands that. He's given me that grace, okay? But the first thing I do is make a cup of coffee, and I sit down, and I open up my Word, the Word of God, my Bible. And then I'll go out, and I'll have a prayer time with God. So I give him my first part of my day. What if you were to give your first part of your day to him? But not only that, but you're here today. This is Sunday. This is the first day of the week. You have given him your first day of the week. What if I was to give God the first day of my week? I'm going to continue to honor God and corporate worship and honoring the first day of your week. But then we also do this thing where we honor God the first part of our year. And I want you to know this January, the first week of January, second week of January, we're going to start what we call prayer and fasting, where we give him 21 days of prayer and fasting. You'll hear more about that. But we give him our first and we give him our best. We don't give him our leftovers. We don't give him our leftovers. Somebody said this jokingly. They said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. You see, when you look into the Bible at the beginning, you see that Adam and Eve, they had these children, these two boys, Cain and Abel. And Cain was a farmer, and Abel took care of his flocks. And we don't know the whole story here, but we know that Cain was trying to rob God. He was trying to cheat the system because each of them presented a gift to God as worship. And Abel's gift pleased God, and Cain, not so much. There was a problem there, and I think he was trying to cheat the system. He was being selfish. This is exactly what God was talking about to the Israelites in Malachi 3:8. He says, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me, but you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings, above and beyond giving, special needs. And so when you cheat, you're acting dishonestly for your own benefit. Listen to me, the last person that I ever want to cheat is to cheat God because he knows. Number four, when I tithe, I'm placing my trust in God to provide. Malachi 3:10, it says, if you do tithe, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. This is God's blessing. Will you guys come forward? This is God's blessing. You know what blessings, the blessings of God are this. We're not only talking about our resources, but we're talking about spiritually, emotionally, health, family, friends, job, home, provision, attitude, finances, God's blessings. And I don't know about you, but I want all of God's blessings on my life. And anybody here, you want blessings on your life right here? That's what God's word is telling us here in Malachi. I've asked Chad and Heather Maves if they would come up and share their story about tithing. Now, Chad, I've talked to you, and you said at first there was maybe a season where you were skeptical about tithing, or it was difficult to tithe. Will you speak to that?
Yeah, so early on in our marriage, we hit some tough times, and I give a lot of credit to my wife. She was a faithful tither since I've known her. And it was over a winter season. I was laid off and had doubts. It's like, we can't be giving money to church. We don't have any extra money. And Heather's like, no, we need to tithe. And I'm like, well, all right. And it wasn't.
Was that an all right, or like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. What was it like?
It was, yeah, we don't have any extra money. How can we be giving money away right now?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a month later. I can remember it vividly. I was sitting outside, and Heather ran out, and we had gotten a check in the mail unexpectedly. Didn't know it was coming, and it was for like $1,500 or something like that. But it was enough to get us through that time. And since then, that was like a turning point for me. It was like that God's got us.
So you're saying that God said you gave your tithe back to God, and God showed up in ways that you never thought or even imagined.
Yeah. It was completely unexpected. I remember us sitting outside, and she came out screaming. She's like, oh, we've got all this money. Where'd this come from? And it's like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
That was the turning point. Like, hey, we trusted God, and he's providing. Like, yeah. He's got us.
Heather, you want to speak to tithing?
To add more context to that, we had $3 in our bank account. And, I mean, we just had no money at all. And it was really stressful, but I think the temptation is when you have money, it's pay your bills, savings, yada, 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 fun, and then God. And we decided that when we get the money, it's going to be God, then bills, then savings, then yada, yada, yada. And we chose to do it joyfully.
Yes, yes.
And back then, I actually physically wrote a check on Sundays, because I wanted that act of, okay, God, we are trusting you, and this is our first, and this is our best, and now I do the automatic payment, because, you know, it's...
Yeah, we do the same thing. We do the same thing. And so, again, what I'm hearing is there was a challenge, maybe even skepticism, but no, it was the call to obedience, understanding the first fruits, and like, man, this is kind of a turning point in our lives. Like, are we going to make these things a priority? Are we going to make God a priority? You stepped out in obedience, and God showed up in ways you never thought or even imagined. And how is it today?
Do you want to talk, or do you want me to talk? Okay, I'll talk. Okay. We didn't practice this, so. So now it's just become a part of our everyday, honestly. I mean, it's a no-brainer. We just We give our tithe and we give above and beyond when we can. And God's just, I truly, this is a true testament. I really just don't ever worry about money. That doesn't mean it's not been tough at times. We've had ups and downs in our finances. And last year, so I own an LLC, Chad owns an LLC, and then we both have full-time jobs. And I always set aside taxes for our LLC. And on April 15th of last year, our accountant called, and I had to make the payment by 5 p.m., and it was like 4:40 when he called me. And Daryl called, and he said, I need you to make your tax payment. And it was almost triple what I was expecting it to be. And by the grace of God, I had the money in our account, but that was like every penny that we had, and my heart sank. And it's funny has anyone else experienced that? In just like a moment, your whole day changes, or your whole week, or your whole life. And I said, okay, well, God's got it. I had a moment of like, oh no. And then I went to, you know what, God? This is, you're writing my story. And I made the payment, and I was a little upset with Daryl. You know, he could have given me some more notice. So I made the payment, and then later that afternoon, he called me back, and he said that basically there was a mistake and some accounting things were changing, and that we were going to be getting a check in the mail, and what was left was the exact amount of taxes I had set aside.
Thank you, God. That is way cool. Your testimony was so wonderful. I want to bless you guys. Can I just bless you guys for your testimony? There you go. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Can you give them a round of applause? Thank you. And I know that there's many of you who could, like, same story. I want to wrap this up here. God's blessings are a natural overflow from our obedience. This is not a get-rich scheme. This is a blessing principle. This is where God says, challenge me. Quickly, when I tithe, I'm resourcing to God's mission. So he talks about here in bringing your tithe into the storehouse. So what is a storehouse? Well, back in those days, a storehouse was the temple. It was the ministry of the priest in the temple. And they were to bring their tithe to the storehouse. It wasn't to anything else. So I want you to know, if you are a member of Thrive Church, Thrive Church is your storehouse. If you are a faithful attender of Thrive Church, this is your storehouse. This is where you get spiritually fed. And I have on your notes here a list of all the ministries that happen in this church. And can I just say to all those people in 2024, thank you for your faithfulness to the first fruits principle. Can we just give it up for those who you've invested. Number 6, when I tithe, I'm testing God's power in my life. Malachi 3:10, he says, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing. Everybody say blessing. So great, you won't have enough room to take it in. And then he says, try it. Put it to the test. So this is a challenge. God says, I want to challenge you in this. Again, blessings, God's blessings come not from you tithing, but blessings come from your obedience. And so I've done this before, and I heard a testimony of somebody who talked to me. And so this message I've talked about before, but somebody, last year, I talked about this, and I put out a tithe challenge. And if you've never tithed before, I want to present to you a tithe challenge. I want you to mark today's date, and I want to challenge you to start tithing. And here's the deal. If you do not see within 3 months, if you do not see God's blessings in your life, I want you to come back and meet with me. And I want you to say, you know what, this whole tithing thing, I haven't seen any of God's blessings in my life, and I would like my money back. No questions asked. We will return what you tithe. And again, I just had somebody who shared with me this morning that they did that challenge. They accepted the challenge. And remember Circle Prayer Team? Remember all the blessings that this person talked about in their lives, and he gave all glory to God. You see, I want you to know that this is something that Michelle and I practice every 2 weeks when we get paid, and we have it set up. That's the first thing that goes out of our account, the very first thing. Boom. We don't even think about it. We don't worry about it. Not only our wages, but any gift that comes to us, any honorarium. As a pastor, I get honorariums every once in a while. The first, everybody say the first. The first goes to him. And even the extra. And then we even give offerings. So once a month, I'm not bragging here, but I'm just telling you, we practice above and beyond giving. We're going to talk about this next week here, above and beyond, but we give towards impact, the ministry of impact in this church, and we try to give generously, which is above and beyond. Listen to me. God doesn't want anything from you. He wants something for you. He wants something for you. God wants to bless you. So I just encourage you, would you just take this message and will you pray about it? Will you just say, God, what is it that you want me to do with what is yours? How do you want me to respond? And again, this is one of those questions like, you have questions about this. Please come talk to me. I want to help you understand that this is not a financial decision. This is a spiritual decision. So can I just pray for you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, all around this room. Lord, speak to us about this spiritual principle. God, speak to us about how you want us to live with what you have given to us. Lord, not only in the principle of the tithe, but above and beyond. I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us about how you would have us respond to this day one response. If there's anybody who is here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as I said before, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. Would you give your heart to him today? If you've never given your heart to him, it's as simple as this. Just say, God, I need you. I open up the door of my heart and I surrender it to you. Will you come fill me today with your spirit? Forgive me. Lord, I'm choosing today to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Can we just give God praise? Thank you, God.